Pentagrammel. Okay, we left off yesterday. We were really talking about two different shailas that come up in terms of precisely defining Hagdaras Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. We know from the previous sugyas that it is so important for us to know the difference because Kli Sheni and Mevashel, whatever that means, both the Shabbos and both Mecholot, so it's important for us to define what exactly constitutes Kli Rishon, what exactly constitutes Kli Sheni. So we spent bulk of the time yesterday, Shia, talking about the Vagush that we were just, at the very beginning, we began to discuss the issue of the ladles. So I just want to go back for a moment, back to the Davagush, because somebody asked me, after the show was over, somebody asked me, so, Rebbe, how do we paskin? Tachlis, bottom line. Are we concerned for the Davagush? Do we think the Davagush creates Bishul? Do we think it creates Bliyas? Do we think it does nothing at all? So the answer to that question most probably is that we're not sure. What a great surprise. We're probably not sure. And I'll tell you why. I'll give you at least a practical application of this shaila. Let's take a drop of an introduction to appreciate the application. But the case is important for us because it highlights some other things we've been talking about, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni as well. There is a tshuva in Ramosha, where Ramosha Ray was presented with the following kasha, following shaila. We wanted to know, can you take ketchup and put ketchup on a hot piece of meat on Shabbos? What's the din? What's the shaila? Shaila is there a concern of bishul on the ketchup? Now, why should there not be a concern of bishul on the ketchup? Well, for the following reason. Ketchup was already nisbashil. Ketchup was already long cooked in the factory. And we have a rule called ein bishul acha bishul. However, we spoke about this back in the Bos B'chol days also. We spoke about this, that many Rishonim maintain that ein bishul acha bishul doesn't apply to a dover lach, to a liquid. The very simple reason, that a dover yovesh, a piece of dry chicken, a piece of dry kugel, once it's already cooked, so then it's cold, but you're not really doing all that much. You're basically just reheating it, but it's not really changing the tzura so much, and therefore the second bishul really is meaningless. However, when you have a bowl of soup, you have a pot of soup, and the soup is cooled down already, so then there would be a concern of yesh bishul acha bishul, because when you're reheating a liquid, that's mamish like tantamount to cooking it. The original bishul was almost this batel at the time that it cooled down. So how do we be paskin in that shaila? So that's a big machlekes to mechaber in the Ramah. So the mechaber is cheshesh that yesh bishul acha bishul b'davar lach, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch mechaber holds that any time the liquid dips beneath the point of Yatzah Lettuce Bow, so Yatzah Lettuce Bow is always the cutoff point for what's called bishul. So says the Shulchan Aruch, once it dips beneath the point of Yatzah Lettuce Bow, the bishul is revoked, the bishul is canceled. And when you go ahead and you reheat it past Yatzah Lettuce Bow, the shalav bishul deraisa. So the Ramah says that he doesn't think that's true. The Ramah writes that he thinks that if it just merely dipped beneath Yatzah Lettuce Bow, that's still considered to be nisbashel, and that would not be bishul acha bishul, even devalach. But if it gets so cold that it's to the point of it's not in the gamre, it's already room temperature, it's already reached a point, it's not even warm anymore, so then the Ramah concedes that there would be a concern of bishul acha bishul. So again, there are some Rishonim who say there's no bishul acha bishul in gamre, even by devalach. That's the Rambam seems to say that way. Other Rishonim say that way, that ain't bishul acha bishul across the board. Now the other extreme, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Machmir who say there is a problem of bishul acha bishul by devalach. Once it reaches the point, the Dithyat's letters, it's already subject to a second bishul. And the Ramah is kind of walking somewhere in the middle. Many poskim, including the Chazanish and Ramosh, are of the opinion that the Ramah never really meant it Mikra Adin. The Ramah really, really held in the heart of hearts, the Ramah held that Ein Bishul Acha Bishul is really true by Lach as well. But for Zachumra, Zaminug, Zachok, or whatever it is, the Ramah felt that if it gets too cold, so then it doesn't look right. Then it looks like a bishul, a Mexican bishul or something. In his real, real heart of hearts, the Ramah held that there really is no bishul acha bishul. So whether you accept that Ramah Shechadish or not, we're not learning that sugi right now. But the bottom line is state in Ramah, that's what the Minhag Ashkenazim is for sure, that anytime a liquid is totally cooled off, then you don't, then you have to be concerned with the potential subsequent bishul. So the question that was posed to Rav Moshe was, when I have ketchup, and ketchup was already nisbashel in the factory, but it's already cooled down. Now, again, assuming that you think that ketchup is a liquid, that may depend upon the brand of ketchup. If you're dealing with a Heinz ketchup, maybe it's a little thicker. If you're dealing with some of the more Hamisher brands, that we may be eating in the next couple of weeks of a Pesach, so then maybe the standards of Yavish and Lach may change a little bit. But Ramosha was presented, they handed Ramosha a bottle of ketchup on the Lower East Side back in the good old days, and they said to Ramosha, Boss is Das, he says a double Lach. So it's a double Lach. So the double Lach, we have to be worried about Yesh Bishlach Abishal. So how far do you have to be worried about Yesh Bishlach Abishal? So we know that as a general rule, cliche to Edom of Ashal, that's true. But we've also seen that there's an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is Kali Habishal. Anything that's easily cooked can be potentially cooked in a Torah, even in a klisheni. So came along the Sefi Arayim, Reb Elazar Mitzvotamim for a minute, and said that we don't really know what's Kali Habishal today, and therefore everything is a concern of a Suffolk Kali Habishal. And therefore, tachlis, bottom line, don't cook anything in a cliche. So in one fell swoop, everything we've been learning for the last 2 weeks about cliche, mavashel, the Sefer Reim just knocked it out of the box in one line. And he said, b'zman hazeh eino nebekiyin, what's called kali habishel. And therefore, everything is a chashash of kali habishel. And therefore, you, the maisa practically, are not allowed to cook anything in a cliche. Comes the Mishneh Berurah, the quotes of the Gedolei Acharonim as follows, that the idea of Yesh Bishal Achabishal B'Dover Lach is a big chiddush, is a big chumra, not so poshut. The idea that everything is a Suffolk Kali Abishal and therefore cliche is off limits today is also a big chumra. State the Mishneh Berurah and Yerach Chaim and Simen Shin Yuches, we are not obligated to combine chumras. We're not obligated to take the worst of both worlds and say everything is a chashash Kali Abishal and Yesh Bishal Achabishal B'Dover Lach. That's not necessary. Therefore, the Mishneh Berurah paskins halacha lemaisa that you're allowed to take a double lach and is bashel, even though it's the tzadon legamrei, and even the chetchila put into a chlisheni. We do it all the time. Let's say a person is making themselves a cup of coffee, and they're making tea with their scents, whatever it was, and now they want to add milk or something. So you want to add milk to your coffee. So even if your coffee is only chlisheni, the poskim are making you allowed to add milk. Why is that? Because all milk was pasteurized in the factories, and therefore it's all a double lach and is bashel, even though it's the tzadon legamrei. When need not combine the two chumras. So practically, lemaisa in Hilchos Shabbos, we assume that one should be machmir the klisheni is potential mavashel. One should be machmir the yesh bishlach habishel b'davalach. But to combine the two together, one need not be machmir. So based on this, Rav Moshe was presented with the following shaila: I want to put ketchup on a hot piece of meat. Do I have to view the hot piece of meat as a kli rishon, or do I have a right to view the hot piece of meat as a klisheni? So if it's treated as a kli rishon, then we have a practice not to cook dvarim lachem shenitzdanu in a kli rishon. If I have a right to treat the hot piece of meat as a klisheni, then I'm not mechuyav to follow that practice. I can follow the psak of the Mishneh Berurah Zacharonim that klisheni is mutter with the dava lach shenis bashel shenitzdanu legamrei. Right? So add the yestra b'isha. What is a dava gush? Bottom line is the hot piece of meat, is it considered to be kli rishon or is it considered to be kli sheni? So, according to the Magen Avraham, even if it's on the third plate already, it's still kli rishon. According to those who disagree with the Magen Avraham, it's already kli sheni and therefore would be mutter. So, Moshe had kapaskin that it's mutter. Moshe said that it's mutter lechetchila to put ketchup onto a hot piece of meat, and one need not be concerned with the bagush, not because of Moshe held the bagush is wrong, not because of Moshe was machri against the Magen Avraham. But Moshe said, because remember, the thrust of this psak is that we're not mechuyav to start to tally up chumras. So the whole chumra of the valach, that yesh bishlach bishl davalach is a big machlokes, and probably just the chumra b'yalma. The whole idea of davar gush, even though we should try to be chayshish with davar gush, but to combine the chumra of davar gush with other chumras, ad kedei kach we're not mechuyav to do. So the response to that Talmud, I forgot it was yesterday, he asked me after the Shia, so tachlis, Rabbi, how do we pass it on davar gush? I would say as follows. As a davar gush in and of itself, I would be weary on. Namely, if I have a davar gush, I have a hot potato or a hot piece of meat on my plate on Shabbos, I wouldn't pour raw foods onto. Let's say, for example, pepper. Pepper in the regular, jars of pepper are not nisbashel yet. So I would not put pepper onto my hot potato on Shabbos because the hot potato, even though it's maybe 3 kalim removed, if it's still yet, so let us go into the Magen Avraham is mavashel. So I would absolutely not put raw food onto my hot potato. However, to put something that was already cooked and we're just nervous that maybe it's yesh b'shlach habishel, it's another lach, at kedei kach, we don't have to be machmer. So the answer to the question is, are we chayshish with davar gush? Yes, we are independently. It means when there's an independent shadow of a gush, we're chayshesh, to start to combine the chumers with other additional chumers, we're not mechuyev to do. So that's just the shrayim of yesterday's end of the sugya.
And all of this that Rav Moshe was saying, that also applies to the basar b'chalav, meaning we would be machmir that the gush is mevashel by itself, without any other kulas, without any other chumras.
Well, the problem with bas mechalav, you don't even need bishul to be a problem lemaisa, because even bliya is supposed to be a problem, and we try lechetchila to treat bliya as even in a klisheni. So even let's say if you have a cup of milk, you have your cup of coffee, and you poured your milk into it, even though it's a klisheni, if you stick your fleshik spoon in, we would like to treat that as a problem. I mean, we said the Ramah is Mekel, Nikr, Adin, but Lechadchil, we try to be Machmir in that. So Bas Mechav is going to be harder to find a case. By Bishop Shabbos, the only thing that's also is Bishol. By Bas Mechav, Lemaise, but the Ramah even believes our problem. Okay, so let's go back now to the second half of our Sugya, where we left off yesterday, and we began to introduce the Mechleikis, the Taz, and the Maharil. So let's just recap for a moment. The Taz quoted a Maharil that said that when you want to kasher a kli that's kasherable through Eroi, many, many kelim are in fact not kasherable through Eroi, but a kli that only received the bliyah through Eroi is kasherable through Eroi. When you kasher through Eroi, you should be careful to pour directly from the kli rishon. Don't pour from a ladle that was placed into the kli rishon, because then you're one kli behind, because the ladle may become a kli sheni, and then what you're doing now is doing Iri Klisheni and trying to kasha something that was Nivla with an Iri Klisheni by using Iri Klisheni. That's a violation of Kabbal Kach Poto. Just to bring this down to earth for us, this would be relevant for kashering sinks. We many, many people assume that the only method they have to use to kasha your sink is probably only an Iri of Klisheni. That's the general assumption, that you only have to kasha your sink through an Iri Klisheni, because the worst it ever got was probably Iri Klisheni. If you think about it, what exactly happened? You didn't cook in your sink. So what could have possibly gone wrong in your sink? So you may have, let's say during the course of the year, you may have been holding a pot full of hot chicken and noodle soup, and you may have spilled some of that down the drain of the sink. You may have had something as bad as Iri Klisheni. It's most probable what you probably had in your sink was probably much closer to klisheni kind of stuff, but it's possible, it's a very real possibility you had an Iri Klisheni in your sink. If you had an Iri Klisheni in your sink, then you have to kasher the sink with an Iri Klisheni. So how do you do that? So what you would have to do is, you'd have to fill up a pot of boiling water. It wouldn't be enough just to turn on the faucet. The faucet water doesn't get all that hot. So you'd have to fill up a pot of boiling water and then quickly walk it over to the sink and pour it all around the sink. That would be mimicking what the original bliya was. So if the original bliya was to an Iri Klisheni, then you could kasher it to an Iri Klisheni as well. Now, I can tell you from experience that that's not always the easiest thing to do. You have to be very, very careful. When you kasher in general, you have to be very, very careful. my kids always know that the first thing you have to do before you kasher, those who wear glasses, is take your glasses off. Because what tends to happen if you leave your glasses on is you start to fog up. And the worst thing you want to do is try to kasher without being able to see. You want to have to rely on your radar to kasher things. So glasses come off when you kasher. So you go ahead and you take your pot and you start to pour it all around the sink. It's a big mess. I can tell you multiple times that I've spilled water all over the place, and other members of the Sobolovsky family are not always happy if the kasher in the sink. So I have such an easy way to do it. Why don't I just take a ladle and do it slowly, carefully, instead of throwing the entire Niagara Falls over my sink? Why don't I just take it a ladle and do it carefully? So the answer is, because of the Maharil, I can't do that. Because since the Maharil told me that by doing so, I just transform my water and my ladle to be a klisheni, that would pose a problem. So comes the Taz and says, it's not true. You can do it. No big deal, says the Taz. You can make your wife happy. Why? Says the Taz. What do you mean the water in the ladle is a klisheni? The water in the ladle is a kli rishon. It's the same as kli rishon. And how do you know that it's a kli rishon? So says the Taz, let's take a look. See where the line, that one line, the Taz that I wanted. See where the one line that I wanted. Can't find the line right now. So I'm in the middle of this Taz. So he said, he throws out the line and he says that, of course it's a Kli Rishon. What do you mean? Of course it has to be a Kli Rishon. Because after all, the walls of the Ladle are hot. And according to Tyson Shabbos, that was the determining feature. Anyone remember where that line was? In the Taz, somewhere in the, we got to read this Taz somewhere a little longer, a little more carefully. So somewhere in there, the Taz said that, of course it's Dino Kli Rishon. Because after all, the walls of the Ladle are hot. And therefore, it's Dino Mabashek, a regular Kli Rishon. So at the end of the day, we have a machloikas, the Taz and the Maharil. What's the status of the labels? Can we bring rayas from Rishonim, or the rayas from sources before the Taz and the Maharil? So one of the major sources is a topic that we spoke about in the past. It was a Trumas Adeshen. It was a Trumas Adeshen's response to a smack. Let's go back a little bit. Let's put ourselves back into sugyas of Chatichanas Nevela for a minute to appreciate why this becomes pivotal to this machloikas, the Taz and the Maharil. So who remembers way, way back? Let's try to review that funny, funny case. A person is cooking.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
So yeah. The Taz is disagreeing with the Maharil on both points?
The Maharil said that it's Dinuka Klisheini. The only thing is, if you leave it in for long enough, even the Maharil agrees. The Taz says he doesn't know what that means, leaving it in long enough. He thinks once you put it in, it becomes a Kli Rishon, finished.
So therefore, it wouldn't even get to the second point.
It's always Kli Rishon, right? The Taz says it's always Kli Rishon.
Okay.
Thanks. So comes the Rishonim with the following scenario. The Sefer Mitzvot Kotev of the Smach, one of the Balei Tais, the Rimi Kervil, one of the Balei Taisis, has the following Chiddush Gali. We spoke about this Berichos a few months back. A person takes a milchik spoon and begins to stir in a fleishik pot. Kaval, disaster. So what mishnah do we apply? Tipas cholov, shenaf lesoch, kader shel bosar. Now true, it's not a literal drop of milk, but it's a bliya. And any bliya inside the walls of a pot halachically is the same as the tam. That's the parsha of Gilei Nochrim. We all know that already. If we don't know that, we have a lot of problems. Okay? Unless you joined the shiur the last 2 days. But if you've been in the shiur for the last 8 months, you don't know that, you're in big trouble. Okay? So Avi, we're not upset at you about that one. Okay? But for the old timers, so a tipas chalav shenafel sochak kedei is a problem. A kaf chalavi that sticks into the fleshy pot is going to be a problem. So what's our initial reaction when that happens? So we quickly whip out the mishnah of ches that says, but a tipas chalav falls into kedei or basar, as long as you have less than a nice time, you're good to go. We whip out the sugi and sadivav that says, how do you cheshbin out nice time if you can't find a goy? That's our practices. So we connect all the pieces of this puzzle. We say, as long as there's shishim in the pot, keneged the spoon, you are good to go. Now, the truth is, we don't really need keneged the whole spoon. We don't even really need keneged the pot of the spoon that went into the pot. We really need keneged the drops of milk that are inside the spoon. But unfortunately, we have no way in Olam Hazet to measure that. So we apply another Gemara. What Gemara? Who remembers the famous Gemara about what? What's the Gemara that tells us that we have no way of knowing? What?
Chal
sugya. The Gemara says, Le'adin and Kamenofik b'nei. And therefore, we are forced to be machmer and say the entire part of the spoon that went into the pot is mully v'godlish with milk. No way of knowing how much is or is not. And therefore, we have to mishar keneged kulo. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to mishai keneged the entire spoon. All that means is you have to mishai keneged the part of the spoon that went into the pot. Whether you have to mishai keneged the entire spoon is a further shaila that some rishonim said, or Ben Peretz said, you have to mishai keneged the whole spoon of its metal, because cham mitzoso cham kulo. It was actually a rye from Korban Pesach, but again, I get off the topic a little bit. So, but everybody agrees that at least you have to mishai keneged the part of the spoon that went in. That's a davar pashut. You don't know how much milk was inside, and therefore, worst case scenario. So l'chora, if you can make that calculation, that you have shishim keneged, the amount of the spoon that went in, we are good to go and nothing else to worry about. But as an aside, even though the pot of meat is kosher, what is clearly going to be treif, no question about it, the spoon itself is treif, because from the vantage point of the pot, we have shishim keneged the milk. But from the vantage point of the milk inside the spoon, we don't have shishim keneged though. We have a lot of meat went in. Whenever you have a tarevis, so it's cross contact. So It's like a sugya from Inyan Adiyayim today. When two people come near each other, so Chalila v'chalila, Reuven Shirim's got to Shimon, Shimon Shirim's got to Reuven. So here the milk is going to the meat's going to milk. It's all happening at the same time. So we're having a cross infection over here. So when the meat is going into the milk, I don't have shishim inside the spoon connected to the meat. But now I got a huge problem. I got a bli of bas mechalav. My spoon is a bas mechalav dikas spoon. I have a huge problem. So again, the pot of meat is fine. It's both mashishim. We're good to go. But the milk, the spoon itself is treif. Okay, so I take the spoon out. I put it down. I say, okay, well, save this. I'll kasher it next week during Pesach. What happens next? Before I know it, I go ahead and I put the spoon back inside. Tachavis akaf pam shenis besach akadera. Now what? So I would say, now what? What's the big deal? So it was made about Moshishim. Whatever problems are inside the spoon mitchila, already we already reckon connected them. And now we're good to go. What could possibly be wrong? So what was the smach? What was the smach? The smach said, no. You have a bigger problem here than you even suspected beforehand. Why? Because before you were just being mishayer, keneged, the milk that went out. But now, since that spoon became treif, so it became a what? No, who remembers? It became chatich anasas nevela. And all the milk that was inside the spoon originally, that may not have even come out yet. We don't know how much came out. All that milk now became riaser the second time with the meat that went into it. Chatichanas nevela just occurred inside the walls of the spoon. And now when you stick that spoon in a second time, you need another shishim. And according to many, if you stick it in a third time, you need invite the shishim. Remember the chach? We spoke about that earlier in the year. Bottom line is, every time, or at least the first two times, look at the first two times, the second time you stick that spoon in, you have to, the clock starts over again, the count starts over again, you need a shishim a second time around. That was the famous psach of the Sefer Mitzvos Kotel. So if you remember, what did the Tshuva Sadeshen observe about this? Tshuva Sadeshen says, L'ra'isi l'rabbonin k'shishay da'avdi hachi, remember that lotion? The Tshuva Sadeshen says he didn't see the old rabbis do this. He was looking around the Alte Rabbonim in Germany, the Alte Peskim, and he said, "Lo shemana davazem eyonim." I never ever saw my rebbeim zok tuvus edeshin that would be mishar twice. Can I get this spoon? Why not? The one that makes a lot of sense. So, what were some of the mitigating factors? What are some of the reasons to believe that maybe we don't have to be so worried about being mishar twice? Who remembers? Who remembers some svaras back from 6 months ago? What was the easiest way out of this problem? If you deny what?
There's no chanan baglios.
Oh, if you hold this noch chanan baglios, but inside the blius of kalim, then you're good to go. That was half the rishonim held away. That would be an easy way out. But that's a controversial way out. So came along to Zadash and came with another chap, a lam de shavart, that maybe there's a whole other reason why we don't have to be concerned here. Why is that? So to Zadash and said that when exactly is this terrible chatichanas nevela occurring? Point to me a moment in time when the meat that's coming out of the pot and the bli is inside the spoon are coming into contact and are creating chatichanas nevela. I want an exact moment on time. Point to me, Mama, stop the clock right then and there. Whistle on the plate. Tell me when it's happening. Zog the Tshuva Sadeshen. Kol zman that the spoon is inside the pot. I don't believe this chatichanas nevela happening. You know why, says the Tshuva Sadeshen? Because kol zman the spoon is inside the pot. This is one big taraitis. It's all mechubiyachad. So if you have bittel b'shishim, if you have more meat than milk, everything is mutter. Not just the milk that comes out of the spoon into the pot is mutter, but even the milk that remained inside the spoon is vital mutter. It's all one big taravis. So just as when you have a big pot of food, so what's on top is mutter, what's in the bottom is mutter, in the middle is all mutter. So kolzman, the spoon is inside the pot, it's bichlal, the original taravis, and the original taravis we declared bittel b'shishim. When does the concern kick in, says the Tshuva Sadeshen? The problem begins when you take that spoon out. So the minute you take it out, it's mufka from the original taravis, it's nifsa from the original taravis. Now you're up to creek. Why? Because now boom, the belias, the boss and the chalav are interacting and they're causing a disaster. They're becoming chatichanas nevela. Says it to Mishadeshen, but Mechilas covered your concern, says it to Mishadeshen, at that moment in time, what is the spoon, Rabbi Say? Once it's out of the pot, Rabbi said, what is it? Let's hear it all together. What is it? Once it's out of the pot?
Klisheni.
It's klisheni. It's a klisheni once it's out of the pot. So comes the Taz and says, wait a second. He says, according to what I just said, that once the spoon goes into the pot, it becomes a Kli Rishon. How can the Tshuvas HaDeshin say that you take it out, it becomes a Kli Sheni? Not true. This is a perfect replica of the Machlokes, the Taz and Ma'aril. This is it. This is an illustration of the Machlokes, the Taz and Ma'aril. I stuck a spoon into a pot. I took it out. Rabbi, am I holding a Kli Rishon in my hands? Am I holding a Kli Sheni in my hands? So the Taz says, wait a second, I'm in trouble. I just got finished convincing you that the Ma'aril is not right, that when you stick a spoon in, it becomes bottle to the, now it becomes Mamash Kli Rishon, and when it comes out, it's Vayta Kli Rishon. And I can kasher my sink based on the liquids inside the spoon, inside the ladle, because it's Vayta Kli Rishon. But I'm against the Tshuvas HaDeshin. So we take a look at the second paragraph in the Taz and the ninth Mamakimus. The Shuvra Yisi Tshuvas HaDeshin, Simakupe Gimel, Indian Shabalua Besech HaKafi, and Nevela, Kazazel Shainai. Finished. Says the Tshuvas HaDeshin that we don't have to be worried with the whole concern of requiring shishim twice for the spoons, because it's all a Kli Sheni and nothing to worry about. And then, by the way, the Tshuvas HaDeshin finishes with Kolshke in the time of day in Issa Balua, Oysa Hette Balua, I can't show you. Of course, if you hold that Ein Chedich Nas Tavel by Baliyas, then of course there's nothing to worry about. So Rabbi said the Taz is in no pun intended hot water, because according to the Taz Shtikl Torah, sticking a spoon in gives the spoon the status of a Kli Rishon. The last one the Taz wants to be against the Tshuvas HaDeshin. The Deshin is ready for Rishonim, ready for the end of the Tkupas of Rishonim. The Taz doesn't want to be against the Tshuvas HaDeshin. Zok the Taz, name, it's not true. I am not against the Tshuvas HaDeshin for the following very, very simple distinction. Taz continues in the second paragraph, the end of the second line. Nira de loy kashemide is at the Taz. The kashemide be zamash kasafti. The hosa maiti kafrekon meakadeira. The ancient elamashe balua boy. Baze amrin and vadei. The aim bekli reken chom kokach shiafle the yafle mashe besecha balua. The afil bekli risha mimamish husam in a orb, hurak mashe besecha and nira loy makane. It's very simple, very poshut mitzias chiluk. Says b'med devar mamurim that the kli rishon that the ladle, the spoon that was stuck into the kli rishon becomes a kli rishon and maintains its status of a Kli Rishon, even when it comes out. That's when it comes out with full of liquid. When you're pulling out a ladle and the ladle is full of liquid, that's called Kli Rishon. And therefore, Mikra Din, you could use that ladle to kash your sink, because that's Iri Kli Rishon. That's not what the Tshuvas HaDeshin is talking about. Tshuvas HaDeshin is talking about you're yanking out the spoon, you're hanging out the ladle, and now it's empty. You took a spoon out, and it's empty spoon. What are you worried about? The bleas inside? Zuck the Taz, when there's nothing in the spoon, so then Mamela, then the spoon reverts back to its status of a Kli Sheni, and the bleas inside the walls of the spoon are bleas of a Kli Sheni, which don't create Chidich Nas Nevela. And that's what the Tshuvas HaDeshin meant. And the Chidich is poshut. Chidich is obvious. If you still bring out hot liquid with it, so that's still Mechubar, so that's still Dina Kli Rishon. But the minute that you take it out, that's not Kli Rishon anymore. And he gives Moshe Lant of Adonia. Let's say you have a real pot of soup sitting on the fire. And now you empty out all the contents of the pot. So it's always Kli Rishon. That's not a Kli Rishon anymore. Kli Rishon doesn't just mean it was on the fire. That means it was on the fire and it's still maintaining. It's still holding. It's still serving as a receptacle for the item that was heating on the fire. That was a Kli Rishon. But if you take the Kli Rishon and empty it of its contents, like in the case of the ladle of the spoon, then of course it's an ois Kli Rishon. Even I agree to that, says the Taz. I only disagreed with the Ma'aril when the contents were still in the Kli Rishon. But if they're out of the Kli Rishon, then it's fine. That's not a Kli Rishon anymore. So who, Baruch Hashem, can breathe a sigh of relief that the Taz is not against Rishon, not against the Tshuvas HaDeshin.
Is the smock also a Rishon?
The smock is Rishon, yeah, sure.
Why couldn't the Taz just be like the smock?
Maybe he's holding like the smack, right? Maybe the smack by definition disagree. Maybe that's the reason why he was chashish. Maybe you're right. I don't know. So Rabbi Say, this question that the Taz and Maril were fighting out in later years in Europe was already ready discussed, already predated them by several hundred years. There's a befamous Taisus about the topic. Mamshim Feshatisis about this very topic. It's a Taisis and Maseches of Adizara that the Taz discovered. After writing his whole Pilpul, his whole Chiluk against the Maril, let's continue where we left off in the Taz. Vishuvra Isi, it's the first word learned in Shikha Safti. Vishuvra Isi, Betaisis Parak, Ein Mamid, and Second Parak of Adizara, where he talks about. If I want to kasher something through Irui, we said certain things can be kashered through Irui. So he says that V'yesh Mesirin, towards the end of the line, V'yesh Mesirin Ka'ara B'soch Machmas Ala Eish Acher Asicha Ola Tocha Ka'ara U'mi Osa Ka'ara Magilin. So he says there are many people when they wanted to kasher Kalim through Irui Klerishon. So they had this big machvas, like a tremendous pan on the fire. And like envision like those, you know, big pans of Chinese food. Very, very hot to kasha, very klutzy to kasha with that. So what would they do? They would almost like put a plate, probably not a flap, like a bowl, he meant. They put a bowl into that machvas, and they would take out the bowl, hopefully holding hands and gloves or something. They would take out the ka'ara, and then they would use the car to pour. What is he basically describing? He's that he doesn't mean literally a ladle, but he's doing the same function as a ladle. Instead of kashering with a tremendous pop, a tremendous pan of water, it's so much easier to stick something smaller in for convenience. So the oilum would, they would stick a plate inside, a bowl inside, and then they would use the bowl to pour onto whatever had to be kashered. So Tosis is relating that there are people, yesh mesimim, people used to do it that way. So Tosis, we don't like that. Uvazem is super agree. The Re himself was not sure. He knew the Balabatim were doing it. He wasn't so sure it would work. Why? So the Re was chayshish lahachmir. He says, I'm not convinced that this is acceptable. And he asked, he prohibited, he wrote into his shul announcements, don't kashi a kelim that way, because I'm not sure the chashik klisheini. But then the Re turned around and said, you know, I'm not sure it's a klisheni. It may be klisheni. So we have to be chayshish as a klisheni. But don't say it's a klisheni lakula. What would that mean, a klisheni lakula? The Re continues, what in the world are we talking about? The Re is talking about the following shayla. This is a common shayla. It's still a common shayla. The Rishayim talked about this a lot. When you shecht a chicken, like you shecht any other meat, so you have to obviously kasher the chicken, you have to salt the chicken only to get out the blood. There's a cloud gobble in kashering that if you cooked something before kashering it, then you're in big trouble. And once you cook it and the blood moves around in such a way, it's not even going to come out anymore subsequently through kashering. So kashering must precede any kind of cooking of the meat or the chicken. There's a technical logistical problem that when you want to kasher chicken, you have to get the feathers off first. So the problem is that in the Goyish world, the easiest way to get the feathers off was to heat up the chicken. First, you throw the chicken into a pot of boiling water, and that would soften the feathers. Then it would be much, much easier to pluck the feathers and clean off the chicken properly. In Halacha, that's not an option, because if you're going to take that chicken and pour it into a pot of boiling water first, that will inevitably cook the chicken first in its dam, in its blood. Therefore, the blood will spread throughout the entire meat. It will be niveling the meat in such a way that it's no longer going to be yaitzei and day kashering. So that's not an option. Obviously, on the one hand, we have concern for your idea. You want to try to get the feathers off easy. So you want to apply boiling water. On the other hand, to throw into a pot of water is not an option. So some came up with the following answer. We won't pour it we're not going to pour it into a pot of water. I'm going to throw the chicken into a pot of water. But maybe what we'll do is we'll pour boiling water onto the chicken. So the answer is you have to wait for next week for that one. That's called Irik Lirisha. If you simply take a pot of boiling water and pour it onto the chicken, according to many, many Rishonim, that's also mevashel the chicken to some degree. That was the machlekes b'Tam de Rashbam we made reference to quickly the other day. And therefore, bottom line, that's also not an option. So nobody today is going to permit you either to put a pre-kasher chicken into a pot of boiling water, and nobody's going to permit you to pour boiling water directly onto the chicken. But maybe what would be an option is as follows. Maybe one could argue that instead of pouring the boiling water directly from the pot onto the chicken, maybe we could stick a ladle into the pot or a bowl into the pot or something, and then apply that boiling water to the chicken, and maybe we can hide behind cliché and say cliché in mevashel. Because if you're willing to treat the water in the ladle and the bowl that was put into the pot as cliché to go water, so then cliché in mevashel, and that's not tantamount to cooking up the blood of the chicken first, and maybe we could salvage the chicken, maybe we'd have a cake and eat it, maybe we can get rid of the feathers by applying very, very hot water, but not halakhically running to a problem of damshin is bashel first. So the Re addressed that question, and he said you shouldn't do that. Why? The Re said, they're pouring the hot water onto the chickens. Nami also, you shouldn't pour the hot water from a ladle either. The chashli kli rishon, because maybe the ladle is still a kli rishon. But I understand the Re a minute ago just said that it's a klisheni, and therefore you can't kasher with it. And now he says to himself and turning around and saying now it's a kli rishon, and therefore traips up the blood, traips up the chicken. What's the answer? The Re didn't say for sure it was a klisheni. And he didn't say for sure it was a kli rishon. He said he doesn't know. The halig Re, what do you want? The halig Re, the halig Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Tam and Rufak from Rabbeinu Tam, the Supuk Re, the Re Taka didn't know the answer to this question. The halig Bali Ataisis didn't know the answer to this question. Is a ladle like a kli rishon, like a cliche? And therefore, we're playing the out, we're following, in a sense, the worst of both worlds. We're being machba and based to the other. Even though it's really, both of these chumas can't be true, but we just don't know which is the right one. So vis-a-vis kasher and kalim, we're not going to let you kasher with a ladle because shema, it's like a cliche. Vis-a-vis pouring the boiling water onto the chicken, we're not going to let you do that either because maybe it's a kli rishon. Says the Re, I don't know. What do you want? Yishlahach v'lekan lekan. So at the end of the day, the Taz says that Baruch Hashem, we discovered rishonim, we'll talk about this topic, and we discovered rishonim, we're not sure what the answer to this topic is. So at the end of the day, what is the answer to this question? Can we be machriya like the Taz or like the Maril? Very, very hard to be machriya. The Taz and the Maril are fighting it out. The Chumash and the Smach are fighting it out. And now the Re is not even sure what the din is. So we throw our hands up and we say, most probably the answer to this question about the ladles is, we're not quite sure. Maybe Kli Rishon, maybe Kli Sheni, undetermined. So Rabbi Say, now let's take all of this and try to see how this plays out lahalacha for us. We saw where it plays out in kasher. I would not want you to kasher your sink using Iroi, for sure not. I would not like you to, next time you shech the chicken, I would not like you to pour hot water through a ladle onto the chicken either for it's kasher. But real lemaisa for us, halach lemaisa for us, this issue comes to a head in Hilchos Shabbos in the following sense. We need a little bit of a background to appreciate how this plays out in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. So we have to take a look at the 10th of the Mamakomos. And again, the background to this is Ein Bishlach HaBishol. That's Chik LeYavar. It's a diuk. We shouldn't have a diuk from a Mishnah with Shabbos that Ein Bishlach HaBishol. Nevertheless, Yaduah Meforsam, a famous Machlekes of Rishonim. When we say Ein Bishlach HaBishol, do we say that a Dovah Shene'efa or a Dovah Shenitzla, Ein Bishlach HaRafia, Ein Bishlach HaTzli? Or do I say no? That each process on its own merits and just because an item that was cooked in water can no longer subsequently be cooked, mikra din, but it means it wouldn't be subject to a subsequent bishul. But if something was merely baked or merely roasted, that's a different process. Vishteit ein bishlach atzli, vishteit ein bishlach afir, maybe and maybe no. So this was a major machlekes rishonim. So Shulchan Aruch in the 10th of the Mamakomos quotes, Yesh misha oimer, the dovah shenefa o nitzla, something that was merely baked or merely roasted, but was never cooked. To cook it in a liquid, to take a piece of bread and put it into a pot, take a piece of barbecue chicken and throw it into a pot of water, that would be a serious problem in HaTorah of Bishul. Anyone knows who the Yesh Rishonim was? Which great Rishon was the author of this Chubra, of this Shita? None other than the Sefer Yerayim. Rabbi Elazar emits, the Talmud Ruva from Rabbeinu Tam, Sefer Reim says that, yeah, in Bishlach HaBishol, Abi Yesh Bishol Achar Afiyah, Yesh Bishlach Hatzli. But now the Sefer Reim went one step further, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch is quoting verbatim out of the Sefer Reim. And therefore the Sefer Reim said, you're not allowed to put a piece of bread into your klisheni. Klisheni? I thought the last sugya was klisheni and mevashel. Who's going to tell me what the Sefer Reim is concerned with, Rabbi Yisai? Who could see it coming? Why do you think the Sefer Reim turned around and said, since I just told you, you're not allowed to cook your baked goods, so too, you're not allowed to cook it into klisheni. Aye, klisheni mevashel, what's the answer, Rabbi Yisai? What do you think the Sefer Reim was concerned? The bread may be what?
Kali
Habishal. Kali Habishal. Remember, I threw under my breath a few minutes ago to say if your rain was choshesh, everything is a suffix Kali Habishal. How did I know he's choshesh? This is it. This is the Sefer Reim. Sefer Reim writes that we do not know what Kali Habishal are and what not. The Mishnah gives us two examples. We have no idea. There are other examples, possibly, we don't know. And therefore, everything is a suffix Kali Habishal to prove it otherwise. And therefore, you put together two assumptions. Assumption number one is up to Sefer Reim, Yesh Bishal Acharaftia. Assumption number two is that even a klisheni kali abishal and esbashel. Assumption number three is that bread may be a suffix kali abishal. If you connect those three chumras together, those three dots together, it's also to put bread into your soup, not just into your pot of soup, into your bowl of soup as well, even into a klisheni. That's the chumra of Sefer Reim, famous chumra of Sefer Reim. How concerned was the Sefer Reim? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it, but I'll tell you how concerned he was. Says the Sefer Reim, somebody who violates what I just told you and puts bread into your soup, I'm concerned he may be chayv a korban chatas. Now again, would Bizman Shabbos Mikdash Kayim would be given a chatas or not? He's not sure because he's not 100% convinced both of his statements are true. But chashashani loy michatas. Well, that's a serious statement. That's a chashash derais. Chashash is a skill of derais. The Shulchan Aruch concedes v'yesh matirin. That there are those who disagree. Hagol, the Ramah says, b'klisheini. Who is the Ramah quoting? He's quoting the Tur. The Tur in Shin Yilches quotes a Sefer Reim, and he says he doesn't know why the Sefer Reim has decided that everything under the sun is Kali Abishal. Says the Tur, I'm looking at bread. Bread does look too Kali Abishal to me, and therefore klisheini is mutter. So again, the Tur didn't disagree with the first premise of the Sefer Reim. The Tur says that the Sefer Reim may be right, the Yesh Bishlach Rafiyah. But to carry that over into a klisheni, that's already a stretch, because klisheni, I'm not worried about Kali Abishal. Then there are more quotes, V'yesh Makilim. There are those who even more make a lafilu b'kli rishon. There are those who are make even in a kli rishon. Why? So who is he referring to? He's referring to the Sefer Rav Yah. Mordechai and Shabbos quotes from the Rav Yah, who said the whole premise of the Sefer Reim is not correct. Just as Ein Bishlach Abishal, so to Ein Bishlach Rafiyah. And therefore, even to take a piece of bread and throw it into a pot, if it's on the fire and still, that's another problem in the Rabbanu. Sorry, it's a whole other story, not for now. But if you have a pot, blazing hot, boiling hot pot, just taking off, sitting on the counter, you want to put your chal into it, head the gomer according to the Sefer Rav Yah, because Ein Bishlach Rafiyah, just as Ein Bishlach Bishlach, Ein Bishlach Rafiyah. So there were two premises that got the Sefer Reim's chumra going. He assumed chumra number one, the Yesh Bishlach Rafiyah, combined with chumra number two, that everything is a suffix Kali Bishol, and therefore he concluded, Lamaisi can't put bread into your bowl. Different Rishonim chipped away at that chumra. So the first group of Rishonim chipped away, that's the Yesh Matirin, and that's the Yesh Matirin of the Shulchan Aruch, that's the Tur, who said the Sefer Reim is fundamentally right vis-a-vis pots, but he's not right vis-a-vis bowls. And then the Yesh Makilu went even further. He said, no, he's not even right vis-a-vis pots because Mikra din ein bishol achar afiyah. It happens to be, just as an aside, that machlokes that we shared between the Reim and the Rav Yah, whether ultimately yesh bishol achar afiyah or not, is really in Yonah Diyema, it's really Hilchos Pesach Shaila. Why? Those who were with us way, way back in Masechet Shabbos day, as we spoke about this, we spoke about another time, this machlokes between back in Brachas days, back in the case of Avarchana, I can't say for sure that it was in a Sunday case of Avarchana, I don't remember, but it was back in the Brachas days as well. So this machlokes between the Sefer Reim and the Rav Yah, machlokes gedelia rishayin, whether the Yesh Bishlach Rafiyah or not, is actually machlokes that starts in Chos Matzah. Because the Gemara says in Brachas and Nechla Biches If you take a piece of matzah and you throw it into a pot of water, you can't be yaitzi matzah with that. Not because of gebrach. That's fine. The matzah was baked already. You throw it into a pot of water, you can't be yaitzi matzah. That's called matzah mevushelis. What's the problem? So the machlekes of problem is. So the Sefer Reyim understood it's a problem because yesh bishul achrafia, and once your mevasha, once the bishul registers, the afia is canceled. And the afia is canceled, that's not lechem anymore. In order to be yaitzi matzah, it has to be lechem oini. So lechem oini, lechem requires afia. So the Sefer Reyim held that the reason why matzah mevushelis is no good, it's not clear in the Gemara why matzah mevushelis is no good. So the Sefer Reyim says, I'll tell you why it's no good. It's no good because the bishul cancels the afia, and therefore it's ois lechem, it's ois lechem, it's ois lechem oini, you can't be yaitzi matzah. And the Rav Yoh responded, that's not the reason why. Not because the afia was canceled, it's still called nefah. The reason why you can't be yaitze is because of a quirk. It didn't protein uchus matzah because the even ta matzah baleka. When you subsequently cook up the matzah, that's a bit of the tam shebay of the matzah. It's not a bit of the cheftzah for matzah. It's not a bit of the shem lechem shel matzah. Bishul doesn't revoke, doesn't cancel, doesn't negate afia. The reason why you're not yaitze is because there's a quirk that you require a tam matzah but you know the baleka, which is, of course, a big problem because vishtei nechumish nita matzah. So maybe I'll have to save that for some of the Pesach Shurim down the pipe. But back to our story. So we have three shittas in Rishon, and what I take is I'm putting matzah into soup on Shabbos. According to the Shulchan Aruch's first opinion, you shouldn't do it even in a klisheni. According to the second opinion, klisheni is okay, klisheni's also. According to the third opinion, in the Ramah, yesh v'gilfi v'kli rishon. How do we noig l'maisa? Zop the Ramah, the end of the piece, v'nogu lizor lechetchila, Zok the Rabbah and minig, the proper minig is not to put bread into your soup, not just into your pot of soup, not even into your bowl of soup, kol zman that it's yatzal letis bow. So now comes the Mishnah Berurah on the top of the next page of the Maamar Kamos. And the Mishnah Berurah says a whole story about people who are putting bread into the soup. He talks about this meat soup they used to make from the legs of the animal. I can't even begin to discuss what the soup looked like, but it doesn't really matter for us. They want to put a piece of bread into the soup. So he says that, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. The second line of the Mishnah Berurah, lo yofei moisim, the people are putting bread into the soups. Why? The afilu lo yiten apas betchila achi ara hamark tchila bekli. Even if they pour the soup out of the pot into the bowl first, it's yasa klisheni. So they're creating a klisheni dika soup, a bowl of soup. Halakos of Ramad yesh lizor b'zeh. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Ramad says, you shouldn't even do that. Even a klisheni shouldn't do. Elim rotza liten pas, if you really, really want to put your bread into your soup, you should do as follows. Yamtin ashlo yeh hayatza lettuce b'barak. You should really wait till the soup cools down beneath the yatza lettuce bowl. But Rabbi, come on, it's Friday night. I want to have a good piping hot soup and I want my bread in there. What can I possibly do? So listen to what the Mishnah Berurah recommends to do. We're trying to have our bread and eat it at the same time. We're trying to have our bread in the hot soup, but we don't want to wait till the soup cools down. On the other hand, we don't want to violate what the Ramah says not to do. Osha l'chol ha'pochus, state the Mishnah Berurah, at least you should do as follows. Yishav b'kaf min ha'kedera, instead of pouring from the soup directly into the bowl, so then nebuch, your bowl is just a pure cliche, and Ramos said that's not a good idea. At least take a spoon, or take a ladle, and stick it into the pot, and yishav b'kaf min ha'kedera k'desh yaka'ara cliche. Comes like, oh, did I say that? I meant cliche. Did you, what you should do is stick your ladle into the pot, pour it into the bowl, and then your bowl will already be a klishlishi. And by a klishlishi, already there's room to be mekil. Atkan Mishnah Berurah. That Mishnah Berurah is very startling because, first of all, we're not sure why can I be making a klishlishi. But if I can, what made this a klishlishi? What made my bowl a klishlishi? I had to assume that my ladle became a klisheni. We are far from convinced that my ladle became a klisheni. Whether or not my ladle became a cliche is a suffix in the re, machlek is tumus adeshin in the smack, machlek is a taz the maharil. And here the Mishnah Berurah is saying that, oh, it's okay, it's all right, don't worry about it. Your ladle became a cliche, and therefore your bowl is a cliche, and you're good to go. A very, very startling statement of the Mishnah Berurah. So I feel bad on the Thursday Shia leaving guys hanging with such suspense, because I imagine some people are going to be plotting, sitting at the table Friday night. And as you go to snoop on your mother's, you're going to notice that your mother probably is using a ladle. I can't imagine as any Jewish mother these days was not using ladle. I can imagine some yeshiva guys not using ladle. You know, time for a bowl of soup. Wham! Turn the whole thing over. Most women are ladling it out. And as such, most women are in effect being covered by this Mishabura, maybe. Because since the yeshiva kaf, so now I want to put my bread, my matzah, my croutons, whatever it is, we'll talk about that hopefully on Sunday, into my bowl of soup. So it sounds like I'm good to go. I have the Mishabura on my side. But not so fast. How can the Mishabura recommend this? What happened to the Taz Maharil, Sofian Taisus Machlaikis, the Tumas Adeshin of the Smach? What happened? How did the Mishabura let you get away with this so fast? Not so simple. So we have some work to do on this Mishabura, so I'm going to have to tell you guys, hang in there on your bread. Most of you are probably not putting matzah in your soup anymore. Maybe people are not eating matzah anymore. But if you want to put those pieces of challah into your soup, you better, I got a great idea, great suggestion. Instead of putting it in right away, stop the meal, give a whole shiur klali about why you should or should not be doing it. Explain to your parents about the machlokes, the Sefer Reyim with the Rav Yoh. Let everybody know that we're rangitun and the sugyas halacha maisa. And by the time you finish that shiur, here's the good news: the soup will be beneath yatzah lettuce bow. At that point, it'll be mutl choladeus. But just in case somebody gets kvetchy and wants to put it in, so I wouldn't scream chil Shabbos. They're relying on the Mishnebura, but we're not quite sure what the Mishnebura said, and we're not even sure they're really relying on the Mishnebura, because we're not even sure the parameters of what the Mishnebura said. So we have to stay tuned until Sunday. The whole poem will hopefully put the final touches on that. Then we have hopefully continue on Sunday. We'll start to the Sugya of Eruv, which is really a natural continuation of this. We'll do a little chumash.